Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in today. Mostly for me, it's going to be your co-hosts, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler, as I kind of listen in today. So I'm in travel, but they're going to take the show and they're going to give you some interesting information. They're going to teach you some things that you need to know and want to hear and some things that you can share with other mothers and daughters. I'm excited about the show. The show today is Mothers and Daughters, Use Your Relationship as an Influencer. So let me bring on your co-host. 1 second.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm absolutely awesome. Thank you, and thank you for trusting me with your baby. I know this is your baby, but absolutely. You know, we all have a hand in raising it. It takes a village to raise a baby. But nevertheless, we are excited and we're always pleased and honored that you asked us to step up and do what we need to do to keep it going. And so I hope you're having a great travel.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Getting a lot done. I can see the end of the tunnel now. So this is good.
That's what I'm talking
about. This trip. Yeah. Deborah, you there?
Absolutely.
Good morning. I'm here. How's everybody?
Everybody,
good. How
good.
Are you?
I tell you, I was just thinking the same thing about she letting us rock her baby, but she said it's all our babies and it's going to take all us to raise this baby. Because I tell you, the baby don't act right, you know? And so you got to send her to the babysitter. We'll straighten out and send her back. Praise the Lord. We're going to rock the baby.
Yeah, come on now.
Praise
come
Lord.
On now.
Praise the Lord. Rock that baby.
Well, you know, the baby, but the amen, Deborah. Amen.
Amen.
That's a private joke between you and Cindy. Amen, amen. No, what I'm saying is this, that, you know what, every baby got to have some aunties and some grandmamas and, you know, some cousins. So we all got it going on. But what I'm going to do now, I'm going to turn it over to you guys on the topic this morning, mothers and daughters using your relationship as an influencer. And when the Holy Spirit was talking to me about that this morning, it was more or less like, you know, we get these influencers and people want to get connected to the influencer because they're connected to so many other people and they feel like there's something they can get from the influencer that would change their life and enhance them in some way. And so as the Holy Spirit was talking to me this morning, mothers need to be influencers to their daughters and daughters need to be influencers to their mother. But the two together, when they put their relationship together, people should look at their relationship and say, wow, you know, I would like for our relationship to be like their relationship for what they can see, because nobody knows what the underlying current is. But what they can see is that I see a lot of positives coming from them. That's what I see. So what I'm saying is that they need to take their relationship and do the positives of the relationship and try to be an influencer that other mothers and daughters will want to be like them. So y'all can take it from there. And I'll be listening in.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much. Deborah, go ahead, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be on this side of the grass, of the dirt, of the this side of the living. We thank you for loving us, Lord. We thank you for helping us be who you call us to be. We ask right now that your word will go out and do what it's called to do. It will not return to you void. We thank you, Lord, for the audience and them coming in on a Saturday morning and thinking tonight Robert has spent an hour with us so we may all come to be a better person in this world. We thank you, Lord. Open the hearts right now. They may receive. Give us what we need, Lord. Feed us till we want no more. Thank you for your heavenly word. Thank you for your heavenly guidance. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for all that you give us, Lord. We don't want to ever take anything for granted. Little, big things, big blessings, little blessings, a favor, influence, and all that you give us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way this day. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Deborah, for that prayer. And so we appreciate you, audience, for taking out the time to be with us this morning. And we're going to, with that, we're going to go ahead and get into the topic. We're going to glean from Proverbs 31, if you will, if you could just keep that chapter open, because God is very instructional. So he has given us a model, if you will, of what a mother is supposed to be like in order that she can influence her daughter in the best way that she can. And a mother oftentimes unconsciously influences her daughter, and vice versa. Daughters also unconsciously influence the mother. And so just think about it like this, audience, the impact each has on the other as a mother and a daughter. We notice what they're saying on the phone when they're talking to their friends, vice versa. We notice that and especially don't let it be a gossiping session, because we really got our ears open when we hear somebody else on the phone, our mother, our daughter, talking to their friends about whatever the subject matter may be. And if it's gossip, they're going to be influenced by that. So mothers have to be really, really careful with talking on the phone, because she's just right there soaking it all in. And it don't matter how old your daughter is. It don't matter how old your mother is. When we are around people, we influence each other. There's a noise. I don't know where it's coming from, but forgive us, audience. Just bear with us. We're gonna talk over it, because we're not really sure where it's coming from, and I'm not in control of the panel. So please just bear with us. And so when we are not cognizant of the fact that we are influencing each other when we're talking on the phone, that we really, really, really have to be careful how we conduct ourselves in these situations, how we interact, not only in private, but in public. And we have to learn to teach our children to be polite and not gossip and not be unruly. And so all of these things are so important when we talk about influencing or being an influencer, because other mothers and daughters see you out in public. They see your relationship, and they ought to want to be not like you per se, but they want to be, if you're out in public with your daughter, you want to say something unconsciously about who you are as a mother-daughter pair, because people are watching, and people are watching you when you don't even know that. And so, Deborah, I'm gonna put what does it mean for you to be available for your mother as well as your mother being available for you? And I'm going to explain why that is so important when I sum up the whole thing. So I'm going to put 3 points before you, and then we're just going to have a discussion of how that looks with you and your mother. And I've never had that opportunity, so I can't even speak to that. And then I don't have any daughters. I have sons, and I'm going to share us. This is a great conversation for me at this point in my life, because my son said some things to me. He traveled up to see me this weekend with his brother who was here, and I'm going to share some things that he said to me that I wasn't even aware of. So what does it mean for you to be available for your mother, and your mother to be available for you? And what does that mean for your relationship?
What does it mean for me to be available for my mother? It means that I am you know, carving out time to spend with her to enhance the relationship. It means that I consider her valuable enough to impose on my time. It means that I know that if she needs me, there's something that I probably need to respond to. And I know that, you know, she's not as young as she used to be, and that time is ticking. And so she celebrates her birthday tomorrow. So we talking, you know, she ain't no spring chicken no more. And so I want to like to, because of my track record and the time I've been away from her, I would like to enjoy and be available to see, you know, what God has in store for us. Who's to say I might go before her, but I would like to be available because, you know, I'm in my right mind, you know, and I know that, you know, it's important to her to be able to have time with her kids, especially me.
Okay.
And so what it means for her to be available for me means probably equally all of what I said, because there's times that I'm looking for advice. There's times that I need a word. There's times that I just need to know that you're okay. You know, I might not even want to have a long conversation after a long day of talking all day. I might just want to know, how was your day, Mom? How you doing? You know, and she probably winding down, and, you know, she's good. She had a good day, and, you know, and so I just need to know that even though she's there with her husband, that, you know, still that you're okay, that, you know, that you're not in need of whatever you're in need of that I have. So it means a lot to me to be available.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I'm going to just piggyback on some conversations that we had on past radio shows. I remember you sharing one time how you were making phone calls and not really putting in the effort to go visit your mom, and your mom felt some kind of way about that. Can you share one of those moments with the audience and how you felt when she refused to answer your call because you were calling and not spending that time with your mom?
So I was, you know, she works the different hours, and I work the supplement of the week. So in other words, when she's working, I'm off. When I'm off, she's working. And so I would be texting, and sometimes the texts might be after 9 or whatever. And so I'm a texter, you know, because like I say, I work in a population where, in a society where there's a lot of engagement. There's telephones ringing. There's people in my face. There's emails. There's constant conversation. And so when I get home, I'm pretty talked out. And so I there's times I look at the phone and be like, I don't want to talk, because I might just call for 5 minutes and it turned into 30 minutes. That's with anybody. And so I'll be texting, "How you doing, Mom?" And, you know, back and forth. And so she was feeling some type of way that I didn't know, and I had to learn this through a counseling. Yes, we had one session. And so what happened after that was I was trying to find a way to, you know, see what was wrong, trying to find out. She was saying that, you know, she would like to see me sometime and that she missed me. And then the text
I'm sorry, Deborah, to cut across you. Is that music coming from your end?
No.
Okay. Guys, again, we don't have control of the panel right now, so please forgive us when the unexpected noise comes across. Okay? Go ahead, Deborah. I apologize.
That's okay. And so we talked about it. And she let me know how she feels. And so what it sums up to is it was a communication gap, or me not understanding that you would like to see me some, because, you know, she's not the kind of person who would say, "Well, you know, just don't come see me." She's going to make a fuss about it. She might put it in there and say, "Oh, you got a new car. You know, you've been driving all the way. You don't go nowhere." You know, like, she'll get around to, like, drop a hint or whatever. And so now what I do is I make the adjustments, because she's informed me that I would like to see you sometime now, you know. And so I try, every holiday that falls on a Monday, I try to go see her, even though that's the day she's sleeping off, the 3 days that she just worked. I try to go see her and spend time with her, because I realize that my method wasn't sufficient all the time. That's not good all the time to text. So communication verbally in person is important. And so now I just went and seen her Tuesday, early birthday day. She was fussing about, she didn't want to go out the house. And no, you go on, you go on. I done woke up early to come up here, and my sister, you know, and so we had a beautiful moment, you know, and I thank God, because every time I go, I have a beautiful time. And she tells me, I didn't know you were so funny, W. You should have been a comedian. You know, I have her laughing so hard, sometimes I got to stop so she don't choke, you know, because I take it in, you know, and it's like I bring the medicine to you. I bring you your medicine, the spiritual medicine, you know. That's good.
Amen.
You know,
so what I'm hearing, Deborah, what I'm hearing is a mother's presence in her daughter's life means more to them than she actually knows. It's actually the foundation of the relationship. And knowing what your mother desires is half the battle.
Right.
Because now that you know, you have no more excuses why you don't do what she desires, which is spend time with her. And so being that person that you are, and you are very funny, you know that you bring laughter to her. That's important to her as well, because laughter is scriptural, that it makes the heart happy, you know, and it makes for us, you know, it causes health to our lives when we can laugh. And if you bring that to her life, that's beautiful. And the fact that you know that you make time for your mother, that is really, really important. Because like you said, when you didn't know, you were doing Deborah. But once you found out what your mother desired, you consciously now is making time for your mother, because she has put it out there that I want to spend time with you as my daughter. Did I sum it up okay?
Yes, you did.
Okay, mm-hmm. So if a woman's relationship with her mother, so this is what the caveat of that little clip and piece right there. If a woman's relationship with her mother was supportive and healthy, and if her mother had given her positive messages, then it would assume that she will in turn do the same. And so, Deborah, let's go beyond you and your mother. What was your mother and her mother relationship, if you will? Did she have that opportunity to spend that kind of time with her mother that she did the same with you? And how was your, and let's go back a little bit to talk about your mother's, your childhood, because I know on a past discussion that we've had too on the radio that you said that your mother worked a lot when you were a child. So would assume that you didn't know how important it is. You spend that time with her now because perhaps, and I don't know, you're going to explain it to the audience, perhaps that was the missing link, the note that you didn't know that your mother desired for you to spend that time with her.
So the first question, how her mother and her relationship was, you know, it's amazing. My mom, every month, for years, would leave Miami and go to the Clearwater and visit her mom for a weekend. She would drive. She would drive Friday night, get off from work, drive 3-4 hours to Clearwater, spend the weekend with her mom, and come back Sunday night. Drive alone. You'll know she's there when she's there. Sometimes she wouldn't even tell us, but she did it every month. And when her mama got what she could not, you know, do for herself, she brought her mama to Miami.
Mm.
And she spent her last days here. And she always say, I miss my mama. I miss taking those trips. I miss driving. So, I mean, for years, every month, she pulling in. She would spend time with her mama and just sit there, and they would go out to eat. And sometimes my grandma would say, oh, why you can't just bring her to go and see you in the car? You know, she wouldn't even want to, you know, because she was just sitting in the house all the time, going to church on Sundays and I think Bible study or whatever. But she didn't really go anywhere. And so when my mom would call, come on, mama, let's go. We're going somewhere. We're gonna go eat. We're gonna get out the house. And you know. And so now that you pinned that question, you're making me look like right now, mom, come on, we're gonna get out the house. But the truth is, she gets out the house. You know, she gets to that spa and she gets, you know, where you at? Oh, I call you. You know, I call you when I finish. So she's in at the nail tech. And she gets out. But it's a different kind of get out with us because she don't have to drive when we pick her up. She don't have to spend her money mm-hmm. when we pick her up. We tease about, mm-hmm. come on, bring that purse. You know, because when we finish. So if you see something after I'm finished, you can start on your little pocket. But we tease her about that. You know, and so we get her and we ride around. She said, you know. The other day she says, boy, you see a whole lot when you ain't driving, you know, because you ain't got to pay attention to the car in front of you, the car behind you, the car on top of you. And so, so that's the relationship they had for many, many years because she's been in Florida probably now close to 25, 30 years, maybe 30 years. I mean, not Florida, Miami. And so the other question was when I was young, she worked a lot. She worked a lot of hours to bring home the things that the kids needed. Single parent for a minute, and then she worked those hours, and so we didn't really get that quality sit down, huggy, kissy. Well, how was your day? We didn't really get that. She come home, cook. She's exhausted. You eat, you do your homework, you go to bed. You know, and you repeat it over the next day. And so I left at an early age, so there's times that I don't know how it was for many years, and it was 20 years before I came back, and so I don't know how to have a relationship. So I was still learning, and even now,
okay.
still learning how important,
Amen.
You know, the one-on-ones are, you know? So that's what
Amen.
I'm learning now,
but,
you know?
Go ahead, I apologize.
Yeah, no, it's just a big learning experience, and I tell you, it's just all boils down to make time, and we don't do nothing but sit on the couch and drink Dunkin' Donut coffee and eat Georgia smoked sausage. That's a good day for her. So I'm
Amen.
Just excited.
Amen. But Deborah, you know, you just made a connection for yourself. I don't know if you picked it up, but that connection is that because she drove all those miles, getting off from work late at night. And driving to see her mother. That's why she couldn't accept an excuse why you didn't come see her, because that was in her, that was part of her culture. That was part of making sure that she spent time with her mama. So therefore she's expecting you to do the same thing for her because she did it for her. But that was her norm to go up there. Mm-hmm. Like you said, get off from work late at night, drive by herself to see her mother. And you have a car, and you wasn't going to see her. So she was like, no, this is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm,
you have
mm-hmm.
a car. And you have a new car, yep. Dad. And you can't come
yep.
see me. And because remember now, she went to see her mama, like
yep.
you said, once a month, and made sure that she went there and stayed the whole weekend. So she's expecting
yep.
the same from you because that's what she did to have that relationship with her mama. As an adult woman.
Yep.
So that's the connection right there. So in other words,
yep.
our culture plays a large part and a significant role in our view of ourselves as mothers and daughters. What happened between me and my mama, or what did happen between me and my mama, affect our adult relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes
Absolutely.
We have blinders on. Sometimes we have blinders on, and we don't make the connection. Why my mama want me there all the time? But that's why she wants you there, because she made time for her mother. I love it. I love learning, and I tell students all the time, Deborah. For those who don't know, I'm a professor, so I tell students all the time, learning is about making connections. And we just made a connection of the expectation, where those expectations came from of your mother. She expects you to come see her because she made the effort to go see her mother. I like that. I love the fact that we can learn as we do this TV, this radio show every Saturday. And so mothers and daughters out there, I hope that you got the connection, because it affects your relationship as a mother and daughter when you don't know what each person expects of the other. So, Deborah, I'm going to put the next question out there, or the next point, if you will. Be a godly example. What does that look like in your mother and daughter relationship? What does that look like for you on your end, and how is it showing up in your relationship with your mother?
So be a godly example for me, my mom, is doing things the way God prescribed. We're not going to always, you know, hit the mark, but strive to be the best you can in Christ, because God has given us or given her or any mothers the gift of a child. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. Train up the child the way she should go, and when she get old, she won't depart. She might stray, but she'll come back. And so we're responsible as parents or guardians or godmamas or aunties or whoever position you play, mentor, we're responsible for setting the example. And so my mom, she taught me how to be mannerable and respect people first, because in all your doings, you're going to always deal with people, she say. You're going to always, you know, encounter people, because we are plenty and we ain't going nowhere. We what control and operate the world. So say good morning, and, you know, saying, you know, excuse me, don't look in people's mouth when they're talking, and, you know, go away when you see grown people talking, and stay in your lane, basically. And so she set the role for us to be able to, if we come in a room where there's people talking, say good morning. And mouths took me a long, long way, even now, being a mannerable person. And so she would tell me, you know, we going to church, you know, when you lost your stockings, or they, you know, I was a tomboy, so, you know, I put shorts on and everything under the dress. And you tell me, we're going, and you set the standard, we're going to go praise the Lord. So I need to be not going, you're not going down to that basketball court. You can go to that basketball court when we come from church, but she didn't allow us to tell her what we was going to do, what we was going to eat, and what we wasn't going to wear. It was, this is what we got, this is what we eat, and this is what we do. And she didn't say it mean, she just said it and she meant it. And so she raised us up to know that money didn't grow on trees. She raised us up to know that we need to be respectable people. She raised us up to show us that she was a hard worker and that you had to get out there and do your part in the world. And so as we speak, all of her kids are working kids. We're not lazy kids. Ain't no, she don't have one lazy child. We will go and sit on a clock and give people what they pay us for. We were not,
amen,
we're not milkers. I mean, we got that instilled in us to be mannerable, to go to work, respect people, and to love God. Give God some time, you know. So he tells me,
amen,
all the time, make, I read the word, you know. So, yes.
So what I heard is that your mom taught you to teach. She taught you to practice grace and not only be grateful for what God has given you. She's taught you to be gracious to other people, the people that come into your space. And so what I'm hearing is that our children and our daughters need to see our relationship with Christ as authentic and as real. And what makes it real is what you do with the information that you have received from your mother in order that you guys can be an influencer in the lives of other people. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, you got it. You got it. You got it.
Proverbs 31:26 puts it plainly. Tell us that a great wife and mom opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I am not sure the loving part or the wisdom always come out of our mouths, however, but if we do it the way God has told us to do it, it will always show up. It's not always what you say out of your mouth, but when you do what Proverbs 31 talks about, it will show up without you even having to say anything about who you are in Christ. So sometimes we We desperately want each other to be in our lives, but we don't know how. And one of the greatest issues we find, Deborah, when we have missed the mark within relationships, we don't know how to apologize. I'm sorry, Mom, I missed the mark. I just told my son this past week, I'm sorry, I can't give you what I don't have. Do you know the TV show, The Big Bang Theory? Have you ever seen that show?
Oh, yes. I love it.
Okay. My son compared himself to a character on that show by the name of Leonard. And he compared me to Leonard's mom. I watched that show so much. I love that show. It's hilarious. But I never was able to make the connection that that's who I was raising my child. I had no idea that I had messed up with regards to raising him. He said, Mom, you are not her to that extreme. You don't make negative comments. You have pushed me to be great, but you didn't nurture me. He said, I'm littered. I need my mommy. He said, oftentimes when I call you, you are a teacher or you are a psychologist. I don't need a psychologist. And he told me that this past weekend when we were just having some mommy and son time. He said, I don't need a psychologist. I don't need a teacher. I need my mommy. And when he says that, he's like this little boy, and it's like big crocodile tears sometimes when we have these conversations come to his eyes, and he just wants me to listen to him. He just wants me to be his mom. He don't need me to be his psychologist or his teacher. So moms out there, your daughter, sometimes when she comes to you, she just needs you to listen. And I learned this past week. I would have never put two and two together. And I watched that show all the time. I did not know that I had been that type of influencer in my child's life. I didn't know. But when you don't know, and when you come to the knowledge of how you've messed up, and I apologized to him. I said, son, I am so sorry. I cannot give you what I didn't have. I didn't grow up with my mother. I grew up with a disciplinary, but she never taught me how to be my grandmother. She never taught me what a mother-daughter relationship looked like. So I didn't know, and honestly, I did not know. But I knew enough to apologize to him this past weekend. Talking about influencer, I had to just like swallow my pride and just apologize to my child because I missed the mark. We missed the mark, mommies. And our daughters miss the mark when they don't know. And that's that honest conversation that Dr. Fletcher always talk about, and the importance of us having that conversation to get to know what each person desires for the relationship, because that's the only way we're going to positively influence each other. Do that make sense, Ms. Deborah?
Oh, wow. I tell you, when you said that, I was just thinking, you know, how they would teach us. They would teach us how to love them. They would teach us how to treat them. I mean, people would let you know, I don't need that. This is what I need, because obviously you missed it. So I'm going to fill you in, you know. And so we just got to pay attention and stay teachable. And back to what you was talking about with the Proverbs 27. It says that she speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions on her tongue. And then it goes down and says she watches over the affairs of her household, the mother, and does not eat the bread of idleness, you know. Mm. And so that is an example of the way God want us to model with raising kids, you know, mentoring and tutoring and teaching and guiding and inspiring and influencing. He says, you know, if you ain't got it, it ain't too late, because everybody probably didn't have that instruction, or probably not on that level even now. But God has said, don't miss the opportunity to find out what it is. You know, one of the things I was thinking about before, let me say this, before this morning, this morning when I realized what the topic was going to be, was, okay, how do you influence somebody? What is the contents of what it contains to be an influencer? And what I just simply came up with is setting positive, good, godly examples and having favor with that individual. So they lean in when you tell them something. They take to heart what you say. They respect it and ponder it, and they play with it, and they experience it to see if it works, because you already got a soft spot with them. So Apostle Paul said, I became what the people were to reach them. In other words, you got to come down or go up or in the middle on the level that you need to be on so you can get the favor with the person. So for me, when I'm mentoring and tutoring and with the kids, I'm not a mother, but when I'm being a mentor or when I'm speaking, I come down or I go up or I make the adjustments. Not to say that I got to be acting like a child, no, but I make the adjustments. So would they like to play Game Boy so I can be in their circle? I go in there and I get the controller. I don't know nothing about mashing it. I go through all that and mash this up, this down, this X, this fire, this whatever, and I go through all of that. And I go through all, and I'm sitting there and I'm playing, and I get them loose, and they, oh, Archie, you, I say, oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. Oh, God, you don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. And then after, you know, so how school? You still mashing them buttons. So what you got to do? So we need to talk about that. But we're going to talk about it now. We'll put a pin in that. And we'll come back there. But we're going to get some pizza. And on the ride, we're going to talk about it. And so then I tell him about me on the ride to the pizza place. Because I got his ear because he wants the pizza. He wants the ride. You know, whatever he
Amen.
Likes. I find a way, you know, to get in. So God is saying, hold us responsible for influencing them with the things that's going to make them a better person. It's going to make God pleased with their behavior, with their actions, with their lifestyle, with their worship and their praise. So if we ain't got it, it's in the Word. We got to get what we need to get so we can be influenced, because God is counting on us to be that example to those girls, to those young ladies, to those even grandmothers. He's counting on us, the aunties and the moms and the godmoms and the stepmoms and the wannabe moms. He's counting on us to set those examples and to influence those individuals in a way that God is pleased. So we got work
Amen.
To do.
Amen. And so what I hear is intentionality and being sensitive to the needs of others when we are in their space, in order that we can influence each other as mothers and daughters. That's what I heard in that statement that you said. There's an intentional move that you're making, playing that video game in order that you can get into their world. There's a sensitivity to the fact that, yeah, we need to talk about this thing, about this deed, but right now we're going to finish playing this game, and we'll talk about it on our way. So mothers and daughters, you have to be intentional if you want to be part of somebody's life. You have to be sensitive to the needs of others, because it ain't always about you. Sometimes it's about what your daughter needs. Sometimes it's about what your mother needs. And if we're not sensitive, if we're not intentional, then we will miss it. And so now this past week, I've been more intentional in giving my son those little mommy moments. I text him the cutest little video that somebody had, my sister sent me back in February for Valentine's Day. I just called to say, I love you. That was an intentional thing that I sent him this week. And he said, Mom, thank you. I love you so much. Thank you for the video. It was so cute. And so when we know better, mothers and daughters, we have to do better if we want the relationship to be better, if we want to influence each other in the love that we all crave the relationship and love of the people in our lives. And if you're not craving that, then something is really wrong. You're holding on to grudges or regrets. Something is wrong if you're not craving that relationship with your daughter, if you're not craving that relationship with your mother. There's a lot underlying issue of unforgiveness there if you are not wanting those relationships to flourish and to be everything that it can be. And I know, and I get it, ultimately, that when we don't know and we can't give what we don't have, but we are responsible as godly people to gain the understanding of the other person's needs. And so if we can meet those needs in some way in order to better that relationship, we have a responsibility to do so, because God gave us to each other. He put us in that family. He put you with that daughter. So we have a responsibility to rise up and be all that we can be, so we can influence her so she can be all that she can be.
in order that we can influence another mother and daughter couple so they can be all that they can be, and they should have a desire to be godly or lovely, loving, if you will, because that word godly equals love, because God is love. Christ did all that he did because he loved us. And when we truly love your daughter, when you truly love your mother, we will do what we need to do to be in the lives of these people that God has given us. They belong to us. And shame on us if we don't want to be in a relationship with the very people that God gave us. Deborah, I watched the show with Van Miller and Dr. Fletcher last night. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it this week. That's the show that's up on YouTube right now. And it was so powerful. And she said to Dr. Fletcher something that stuck with me. She said to me that she had been parentified as a daughter. In so many words, she didn't say it in those words, but she was responsible for the upbringing of her siblings because her mom was working all the time. And as a result, when she got married really young, she said, and she was not, she had gotten pregnant shortly after she got married. So now she went from the frying pan into the fire, if you will. So now she's married at 17. She has this child, this daughter, and then she's raising her couple of her siblings that came to live with her and her new husband and her child. And what she said to me, what she said to Dr. Fletcher was that your life can kill you, and that stuck with me. And so when she was young in her young life, she didn't want to be a mother and a wife because she was burnt out from taking care of her siblings. She was always taking care of her siblings, and so that has a had a negative influence on her life. That had a negative influence on her life. And so when she started having her own children, she was always working. And so she wasn't there for the important moments in her children's lives. And so that really, really stuck with me. So, audience, if you want to see that show, if you can find it on YouTube, Dr. Beth, PhD. So for me, when we are missing certain components in our relationship, and we're holding on to these grudges, and we're holding on to resentment, and we've never put it out there why we have done what we have done, I think it's so important that we get in the habit of talking, of having those honest conversations, so we can know those underlying issues of why we are resisting the very relationships that God has given us to have in our families. We culture has such a huge part in how we are and for our beings, and we must acknowledge that the culture plays a huge significant role in our lives as mothers and daughters. Therefore, it affects our relationships negatively or positively. And so when I saw that show last night, I was in awe with regards to she recognized her wrongness, not so much as being wrong, but as the fact that she wasn't there. And Dr. Fletcher said something to her that also stuck with me. It's about balance. Yes, we are supposed to do all of this stuff in Proverbs 31. We are supposed to be that go-getter, that taking care of the home and everything. But when we don't know, when you don't know, you. And so now that she knows, she literally put it out there in the public that she asked her daughter, can we just start over? Can we just start over? She said, I would love a relationship with you. And I just thought that was the most riveting plea that she put it out there in the public. And I pray that her daughter will look at that show and give her mother that opportunity that she's asking for. She said, I know I wasn't there, but I was out busy working, making sure that you guys had everything that you needed. And so you see, when we mess up, if we don't know how to apologize, we may or may not ever get the relationship that we want with our daughters, and for me with my son. And he said, it's okay. And when I apologized to him this week, he said, it's okay, Mom. And he told me to call Dr. Fletcher because I said, I don't even know what that looked like. He said, call Dr. Fletcher. She'll tell you what it looked like. And guess what? She told me what it looked like, how I need to go back and nurture him like he's a six-year-old child. Because when I talk to him and I start to lecture and be that teacher and be that psychologist, he always go back to that little boy. I don't need a teacher of psychology. I need my mommy. And he says it just like that. A 32-year-old man says, I need my mommy. He's not even my mother. I need my mommy. And so, mothers, if we've missed it, I need you to do some self-reflection this week and find out, where did you miss it? Where did you miss it? Just think about the impact that you can have on your daughter if you change, if you apologize to her. And Deborah, our last point I'm going to bring to you, be an encouragement. What does that look like for you and your mother-daughter relationship? What does it look like for you to be an encourager in that relationship? And how does it look when your mother encourages you in your relationship?
So what does it look like to be encouraging to my mom in our relationship? To me, it looks like I am, you know, letting her know that, you know, I know that there's days that she don't want to talk. There's days that she's tired. There's days that, you know, she wants to quit work. And she's retired, but she's still out there in another field. But, you know, and I tell her, I said, Mom, you know, you go on to there's no more gas in the tanks, you know, you're not rocking shell material, you're not typical, you know, you're not even in your age bracket, you're like 15, 20 years under, you got that energy, you got that get up and go, and I encourage her because I see that she's getting weary, and then I know that she can't do the full time, but there's, you know, that gives you something to do, to get up out the bed, you know you got your husband, you cook and you have that relationship, but that gives you something to look forward to, you know, to get up and go and take care of somebody else and do those things. And And I just encourage her, and so she listens, and I say, you know, we're here for you, you know, but we reserve whatever energy we need to the end, you know, and just go on because you can go on, you know, don't just sit home because you can sit home, go on. And so in that aspect, we encourage her to just keep going on, and also just encourage her to keep you know, being the family, you know, like even with cooking, she cooks every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, and we say, Ma, you know, she said, I want to pass the baton. I said, yeah, but don't pass, you know, the stuff you cook. We can't master it like that. We can't do that dressing like that. We can't. Well, you know, I got the potato salad now, and then my sister said, I got the greens, and so we take a couple dishes off, but we just love the element that you bring, and so we try to encourage her to keep on, you know, that family thing. They come, the kids come for that dressing. They come for that mac and cheese, my sister. So we try to encourage her to keep doing the tradition, and to keep going and working. It's good for you to move your body. You don't get stiff, and, you know, it's healthy for you to get up and move. It's healthy for you to use your brain. It's healthy, you know, and so that encouragement is what we give as daughters to her. And what she gives to me is, you know, she always say, keep serving the Lord. Spend time with God, you know. And we have those godly conversations. And you know, like I say, on this side of the journey, I'm the only one that have professed that Jesus is Lord, is my Lord, as being the black sheep of the family from big bank calls, all the trouble, had you crying, had you in turmoil for many, many years, and then I came to know the Lord. And so that I'm praising him, that I'm praying that my sisters and my brothers will come on board. And so I said, let's keep setting an example that God is good. Let's keep, let them see us live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to God. And then they want what they see. I said, but we got to keep showing Christ. Sometimes not preaching it, not even talking about it, but just living it. And so that's the relationship we have is you know, encourage one another to keep on. Because right now it ain't about them getting the careers because they got their careers. It ain't about them raising their kids because they're raising it. It ain't about even right now. It's about, do you know the Lord, you know, but have you accepted him as your personal savior? Because time is winding down. And so we try to be the examples because there's five kids and I'm the first girl. And so, you know, they could have secretly accepted the Lord, and I don't know to this day, but like I had a talk with my sister, I say, hey, God is good. What you waiting on? You ain't going to get perfect. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to go looking for no perfection in your life. Bring it like you is, and God, the stuff will start falling off. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more sin will fall off with you because you'll be more conscious of, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to live like that. God, help me. Deliver me from those things. It's not like you. Mothers are not going to be perfect. Kids are not going to be perfect. But God is saying, if you follow my roadmap, I guarantee your success. If you let me teach you how to raise them, if you let me teach you how to be who I call you to be, you'll be influencing and you won't even know that you're influencing. And like you say, sometimes we want to be the doctor, the teacher, the psychologist. We want to be all those things to the kids. And the kids simply saying, I need my mommy. You're going way back. When you say mommy, that usually comes from a young kid. When you say mother, it's usually like an older child or a grown person. Mom, but when they say mommy, they're saying, I need my mommy. When kids be in school and things ain't right, they tell the teacher, I need my mommy, because only mommy can make me comfortable and make it right, you know? And so mothers be asking, saying that you ain't doing it right, we're encouraging you to keep doing it right. And if you ain't doing it right, we're encouraging you to see God and get on the right path, because we ain't bashing nobody. We ain't telling nobody they ain't living up the par. All we simply saying is God is counting on us to be influencers, so he counting on us to set godly, positive examples so those kids can follow, and they'll set it for their kids, and it'll be a generation thing. So the generation curse will be generation blessings. Each generation will supersede each other with being influencers.
Amen. Amen. We can close the show with that one, sister. And so what I heard, Deborah, and I'm just going to sum up what I heard you say. It's often easy to spot the flaws in each other, in our relationships. But the bigger thing you said is that it's more important to be sensitive to what they're doing, and it's not so important to point things out that what they're doing is wrong, but also when they're doing something well, make a point to encourage your daughters in what she is doing right. You really want to encourage that, because there's a saying that it takes 10 times more to correct if you say something wrong to a child with regard to pointing out their flaws, it's going to take you 10 times more to show her the things that she's doing right, because all she can hear and see is the thing that you point out all the time, that what she's doing wrong. And so what I heard you say is that we must be sensitive to each other with regards to how we approach each other and what we say to each other in order to encourage them, not always pointing out their flaws, but also pointing out when they're doing something right. It's best for us to be direct, however, and I heard you say this, in our actions, but cautious. Be direct, but be cautious, because that sounds like how your mother was with you guys. She was always, she tells you to be in God, to seek God, give God some of your time. So we have to be direct, but be cautious in our reactions and what we say to each other, helping our mother-daughter relationship, and so we can come to believe that we will be, and mothers, we are to be our daughter's lifetime cheerleader. We just have that responsibility. God gave us that responsibility, because if you're not encouraging her, somebody else is out there will encourage her. And before you know it, she's gone on because she likes the way this other family treats her. She likes the way this man treats her because she feels a certain way when he says certain things. So we are to be their cheerleaders. We are to be our children's greatest cheerleaders, if you will. So it's so important that we be the cheerleaders, but be the cheerleader in a godly way, because God has set the example. Christ has set the example for us to be all that we can be, so they can be all that they can be. And Deborah, you mentioned generation. Yes. If we do these things within our immediate, it's gonna
catch on, if you will, and it will become a generational thing for our families when we know how to be godly, when we know how to be loving to each other. And ultimately, we know, again, mothers, that our motherhood exerts a far stronger influence over our families than we know. And therefore, we have to be intentional. We have to be sensitive to the needs of even our adult children. We have to be sensitive to their needs. And as time goes on and our mothers become older, and we have to be sensitive to their needs, because the roles are reversing at this point. You become more of the caretaker of your mother. Like for me, all my son has to do, I don't care about a gift. I don't care about stuff. If my son just walk up and give me a hug, I have the biggest grin on my face, because that's all I desire, for my children to come see me and spend that quality time with me. So, mother, I challenge you this week to spend some quality time with your daughters. I challenge you this week to want to know and ask God to show you what is it that your daughter needs, because a lot of times we go by the wayside when we don't feel love and that our mothers don't understand us. And so I challenge you this week to be an encourager to your daughter. I challenge you this week to be polite to your daughter and not point out her flaws. And daughters, same with you. Stop pointing to your mother's flaws, and you guys come together so you guys can be that influencer out in the world, dying world. As Deborah said, time is what nobody knows how long we have. All we got to do is look at this COVID-19 and how many people was here last year this time. Over 211, last time I saw the news, over 211,000 people have left this world. We don't know when our time is going to be up. And one of the greatest things you do not want, based on my experience, you don't want to see them roll your mother out that door, and you have grudges, and you are holding grudges against your mother. And mothers, you do not want to see them pull the sheet over your daughter, and you have not made amends with your daughters, because it will weigh on you for the rest of your life, because you, that influence, and even that's an influence, whether you know it or not. It's going to have an influence on you negatively. And so my mother, God bless her, my mother and I became just like my mother. Dr. Fletcher said this on the show when I watched the show last night. Ask the mother, so is the daughter. And that's our motto. Ask the mother, so is the daughter, in Ezekiel 16:44. My mother was cold. You can hug my mother, and it was like hugging an icebox. Because my mother learned to disconnect when life happens. My brother died at age 27. My mother never shed a tear. And I'm exactly the same way. People die, I don't even shed a tear. And the only reason I learned how to be a mother to my children is because I was a major in psychology. I have a master's degree in psychology. So I see everything through the eyes of psychology. But I learned how to be a mother through that, and I learned the importance of balance. I learned the importance of finding forgiveness. I learned the importance of being, even though I missed the mark with my children, as far as nurturing them. I'm sensitive to what it is that they need now. I may not know how to do it, but all you have to do is ask somebody. I simply made a phone call to Dr. Fletcher, the CEO and president of this organization. Dr. Fletcher, what does it look like to be a nurturing mother? God said we perish. In other words, relationship dies because we don't know how to be in them, and we don't know how to be sensitive to the needs of other people, because our culture and our upbringing has influenced us. I hope you guys are getting this. When you don't know how, it's not an excuse. You have a responsibility as a mother to learn how to be available. You have a responsibility to be godly. and you have a responsibility to be an encourager to your daughter so you both can be an encourager to somebody else. I hope that's clear. Deborah, you have any last words you want to share?
No, I think that we pretty much covered. I just want to encourage the mothers and the daughters and the grandmas and the aunties and all the people that's in those positions as the figures that, you know, God is saying that, you know, we don't have to do it all perfect, but strive to be the best example we could be and learn the ways that you can, you know, find favor with your daughter, your niece, your cousin, you know, any female, because like Sister say, somebody's going to be in her ear. Even if she ain't 13, she might be 30, but she still need to know that you are concerned about her and that you have a wise word for her. And then sometimes we got to just check our tone. Sometimes we might say it loud or we might say it ugly. Say what you mean what you say, just don't say it mean. Because the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So remember, you're trying to influence. You're trying to get in the circle. You're trying to get in the heart. You're trying to be somebody that they look up to, somebody that they call for advice. So just be careful on the delivery. Be careful on the delivery.
Amen.
Because sometimes if it's not right, it'll turn them away. So you want to get in. So, you know, like Apostle Paul said, I became what they were to reach them. So you want to be
influenced. Amen.
You got to be able to reach them.
Amen. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, amen. Amen. With that, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead. I was just about to bring you back in. Go ahead.
Oh, man, that's an awesome show, you ladies. I'm telling you, I know. I had it hooked to my ear. I'm thinking, I didn't even know this was the show I was supposed to be on with y'all. It was so good.
Amen. Amen.
The advice was good. It was good. It was good. I like that you
Dr.
Fletcher,
I want you. I need you to bring in your radio, the show, to make sure you give them where they can watch you and the show with Van Miller, because I watched that last night and it was so powerful to me.
Okay. They can go to the YouTube channel. It's Dr. Bessie Fletcher, PhD. And you'll see the Van Miller. The title of it is I am your mother, not your friend. I'm your mother, not your friend. And so, but what I wanted to say before we close out, because we're running out of time, is basically it was a good show, but I also want to apologize to the audience. I'm on a construction site, and I was trying to yell at my daughter to tell her that I was going to pick up some supplies, so she couldn't hear me. So we were going back and forth, so I apologize for the confusion in the very beginning. But thank you, guys. It was a wonderful show. I know mothers and daughters have been blessed today, and I know they're going to be blessed throughout, because this particular show is out there. It's on all the social medias, and people are going to listen to it, and people are going to be blessed. Thank you, guys.
Amen. You're welcome. Thank you for trusting us with our baby.
We're
our
baby.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, see you next Saturday. Thank you so very much, my team. Have a good one.
Amen.
We'll talk
all right.
All
love
right.
You guys. Love you, audience.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.